It is my pleasure to be here this morning in Mike's absence. 2 months ago, he asked if Linda and I would do the service today, that wasn't there something that I always wanted to say to this congregation that I've never had the time to say, and he was going to give me a time to say it. Mike is leading a family and marriage retreat, and he will be back next week. We're going to be celebrating a lot this coming month, the life of this church, the founding of this church, and church is about family. I love this church family, and I hope that you love it as much. But within every family, there are disputes, differences of opinions, and God gives us ways to settle these disputes and differences. Paul, in his working with the church in Galatia, there was a problem there between two different groups. You know, Jesus had died, and he promised us grace and salvation was free. And the group in the church was going back to the old ways, thinking that you had to work for your salvation. Well, you don't have to work for your salvation. It's given freely. But there was a group in the church that wanted to take that freedom one step further, to do whatever they pleased, whatever they wanted to do. But with freedom comes responsibility. And that's where we are today. We have the freedom to come to this church. We have the freedom to stay away. But within this church family, we have responsibility for one another. We are supposed to love one another. And if you love one another, you want to serve one another. God designed us to make a difference with our lives. We were not just created to stay here to eat, breathe, and take up space. We were created to serve God. The Bible says God created us for a life of good deeds for which he has already prepared for us. You have an assignment. Each one of us here today has been given an assignment. You were created to serve God, and you have an assignment to carry out. Whenever you serve anyone in any way, you are serving God and fulfilling one of your purposes. Jeremiah was told by God that he was known before he was ever born, and he was chosen, and he was to be set apart for a special work. When Jesus died, he was crucified, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and he made provisions for us here on earth to carry on the good work that he had started. He infilled us with the Holy Spirit, and we as a church family are to be his arms, his heart, his legs. Whatever needs to be done, we are to do in this church. The Bible said God saved us for his holy work, not because we deserve it, but because it was his plan. We are not saved by service. We are saved for service. By the gift of God's grace. God's perfect love is a gift. But a gift no longer is a gift when you feel like you need to repay that gift. How many of you have been given a gift that you felt unworthy? I don't know why they gave that to me, you know. What did I ever do to them? It was a gift of love and expression to you. Because they loved you, they gave you a gift. God's perfect love is a gift. We can never work for it. We can never earn it. It's given freely. A gift. And remember, a gift ceases to be a gift when you feel like you have to repay it. Jeremiah 31, verse 3, God tells Jeremiah, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. How many of you are grandparents? I want to see a raise of hand. You know, the relationship between grandparents and grandchildren is very special. It's unencumbered by the need to constantly correct and tell them, no, don't do that. Watch out. Why did you do that? you just love them, and you delight in the grandchildren. Not that I don't love my children, but my grandchildren are a special gift. You just delight. Now, this past week, I had put in the newsletter an article, well, by Quinn, that he wrote for a school assignment that was turned in the state of Texas, and he came in second in this contest that they were in on violence. 12 years old, and I delighted in that article in knowing that he had the raising and the mother and the father that were guiding him to write this letter. But grandparents serve their grandchildren in ways that you would never think. I'll have to tell this on my husband. When the twins were visiting one time, Laura went back and got in my jacuzzi and turned on the bubble baths, and they were up to here. And she decided that she was thirsty and she wanted something to drink. So she said, "Pop, I need something to drink." And Pop was back in the kitchen, and he heard her, and he came with a glass of water, towel on the arm, served her a glass of water. Did he have to do that? No, but this is something that she will remember. This big man took enough time to this child to bring a drink of water. Do not misunderstand the relationship between grandparents and grandchildren. They do have limits. We have learned as parents over the years that our children are going to make mistakes and our grandchildren are going to make mistakes, but we love them through the mistakes. God loves our differences, and he delights in our presence. And he will love us through our mistakes and our differences. In God's kingdom, we have an assignment. We have a place and a purpose. And that makes us special and gives us significance and value. God has a ministry for you. And in this church, he has a mission for you in the world. Now, don't misunderstand the word ministry. Whenever you hear the word ministry or minister, you think of this obligation belongs to the preacher. You know, he's the only one that can minister. Not so. We're all ministers in this church, and we need to minister to one another. God paid a price for us. He sent his son to die for us. He purchased our salvation. And through salvation, our past is forgiven. Our present is given meaning, and our future is assured. Paul said, "Because of God's great mercy, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service." If we are only concerned about our needs, we should really question if Christ is in our lives, because the saved heart is one that wants to serve. Another term, as I said, for serving is ministry, and we all have a ministry. If you are a Christian, you are a minister. When you are serving, you are ministering. Each one of us, God promised a spiritual gift. And God expects us to use this gift. But spiritual powers, like solar powers, dissipate over time. You have to renew that. And how do you renew these spiritual powers that you're given? Being a part of a church family is a good start. Bible study, Sunday school classes, and those of you who are not in Sunday school classes, I would strongly urge you to become a part. We just started a new unit in our Sunday school class, starting with Genesis, and it's going to be a wonderful study. And I invite you to come be a part. Not this class, Calvin's class. He has a wonderful class, and so does Ms. Dorothy Taylor for adults. Bring your children. There are classes for them also. You have to renew your spiritual gifts. But we all have daily attacks from the enemy that take their tolls. Whenever you go to make a step for Christ, you will find some crisis that comes up in your life. I promise you, if you will note this, you will see that this happens. Whenever you go to make a step for Christ, there will be a crisis in your life that wants you to pull away. But you have to use your head, not your emotions, to realize this is happening. Paul says we all have to ask for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We need God's fresh wind to blow into our lives and to wake us from our lethargic state. How do you learn to serve? I'd say the best place to begin, and so does Charles Stanley, is in the home. Do you remember the quote by John F. Kennedy? I'm sure we all do. Ask not what you can do for your country. Ask what you can do for your country, not what your country can do for you. Husbands, ask your wife, what can I do for you, not what you can do for me? Wives, do the same. Church members, do the same for your church. How can I serve you, not how can you serve me? God loves us so much, we do not have to do anything to earn his love. It's given freely. And one reason we need to be connected to church family is to be able to serve each other in practical ways. The Bible tells all of us together we are Christ's body, and each is a separate and necessary part. Your services are desperately needed within this church. You have a role to play, and every role is important. There's no small service to God. All is important. There's no insignificant service. Some are visible and some are hidden. I think about a duck going across the water, you know, so smooth, and you watch him. He just goes along with the currents, and you just watch him float. But underneath, his little feet are going like crazy to send him up and over. There are a lot of hidden ministries in this church where people are taking their little feet, and they are really paddling to make a difference in the lives of this church so things run smoothly. And think about the darkest night in your life. A pinpoint of a flashlight brings comfort, does it not? So the smallest service is important. Every ministry matters. 35 years ago, my family and I came to Fayetteville, and we were looking for a church, and we found this church. My daughter Lee was born while we were coming to this church. This church has been my church family for 35 years, for my family and myself. And I think about how we felt when we came. There were a few members that welcomed us warmly, and some of them are no longer here today. And I'm sure that they've gone on to be with their maker. But we made a discovery. You know, we were intermittent Sunday school goers and church goers. Whenever the Spirit failed us, you know, we would go. But then the discovery came that the more we did for this church and served this church, the more we became a part and the closer we became to the church family. So if you don't really feel a part of this church, you need to be involved and you need to get in service. Because to love is to serve. At least three times in our life and more, when I think about it, this church has been here for my husband and my family and myself. These were life-threatening illnesses and events that came to us. And this church was here to offer comfort, to bring food, make phone calls, and send us cards. And if you've been in a similar situation, you know what a church family means. This church family is going to be what you make it. If you love this church enough, you're going to want to serve it. 50 years ago, our founding fathers thought enough of this community that they wanted to put a church in this very place. They had a vision what a church could mean to this community. And I would like to thank them for making their vision a reality, so this is my church family and my place to worship. I love my church, and I want to serve you by loving you as God intended. As we take Holy Communion this morning, I want you to ask for the infilling of the Holy Spirit in your life and to give you a servant's heart. Let us pray. Father God, thank you so much for the opportunity this morning to stand and give your message. Be with this congregation, Lord. We ask that you do give them service hearts. Amen.